Chandler Ave, where it all started. From humble beginnings comes great things. Anonymous. You live in a roach motel, my neighbor Marcus taunted. I was standing in front of our place on Chandler Ave, the rundown two-story apartment building that served as my very first home in the late 70s through the 80s. It was quite a sight to see, with half of the shingles missing from the worn outer walls. Conversations like this were common from the neighborhood kids while I was growing up. On this particular day, I was just trying to come home from school, but Marcus decided to be a comedian. Shut up before I get my cousins to beat you up, I yelled. The roaches are your cousins, Marcus yelled back before breaking into a fit of laughter over his own joke. Other kids standing nearby laughed too. I decided to tune them out and went into the building and let the door shut behind me. There were only 6 apartments in the entire building, and 4 of them belonged to relatives. The other 2 belonged to friends who were as close to us as family. I lived in apartment 1 with my mom, older brother Darnell, younger brother JJ, and sister Fifi. My youngest brother Devon didn't exist yet. Years later, he would make his grand entrance to the world totally unannounced. We didn't even know my mom was pregnant until she was in labor in the ambulance outside our building. But that's a story for another time. We loved our 2-bedroom apartment. We didn't have much, but mom taught us to make the most of what we had. We were constantly drilled on how to keep the place clean. We also did any repairs that were needed because it took weeks for the landlord to respond to anything, mainly because we were often late paying the rent. It was also the place where I learned how to be quiet as a ninja when unexpected people came knocking at our door. Hey, you took the last of the Rice Krispies, I yelled at Darnell. Actually, the generic version, Crispy C's or something, but it was all the same to us. There's another box of cereal in the cabinet, he said, pouring milk into his bowl without looking up. That's boring old frosted oats. You took the last of the good kind and we can't get no more until mom get paid. Pretty soon, I would forget the cereal war with my brother and settle in with my bowl of frosted oats to watch Saturday morning cartoons on our tiny living room TV with the rabbit ears. But before I had the chance, a sudden knock on the door interrupted my plans. It was ninja time. Shh, I signaled to the others with my index finger resting on my lips. I stood as still as a statue and held my breath. Not that the person at the door could hear me breathing, but I figured it was better to be safe than sorry. Darnell and I just looked at each other, eyes wide with alarm, while we waited for the knocking to stop. The only sound you could hear was Darnell's cereal making snap, crackle, and pop noises in his bowl. We had an idea who was at the door, but we had been thoroughly trained by Mom on how to respond, or rather, not respond. The only thing I couldn't figure out was how Mr. Kirsch, a small Jewish man, was considered threatening to Mom. He didn't appear threatening at all, and he didn't go around hollering and shouting at people. It wasn't until years later that we found out that Mr. Kirsch was a high-interest loan shark, and he was coming by to collect money that Mom had borrowed. God only knows what would have happened if Mom hadn't been able to pay him back in a reasonable amount of time. My cousins Dwayne and Dennis lived in apartment 3. Not only did they have the luxury of having a 3-bedroom apartment, they both even had their own bedroom. They were like the Huxtables of our building. Their father, my Uncle Billy, was the breadwinner of the family, and he did well for himself as a professional carpenter. He had a lot of things that most of the tenants didn't have, like food. Just kidding. Seriously, though, they probably had all the name brand cereal they cared to eat. My Aunt Cynthia spoiled them, so they introduced us to some of the hottest toys and gadgets that nobody else in the building could afford. That was the place to go if you wanted to play with real Transformers, purchased from Toys R Us, and not converters, purchased from the thrift shop. I remember they even had a go-kart with a real engine. They didn't have it long because Dennis lost control of the wheel and nearly jumped the tracks a few blocks down from us, but it was fun while it lasted. Apartment 4 was upstairs to the right. My cousins Odie and Derek lived there with Auntie Emma Jean and their stepfather Skip. There was always a lot of good music coming from the apartment because they celebrated everything. Having a birthday? Let's celebrate. Happy anniversary? Let's party. Your favorite shoes was on sale? Well, put them on and let's dance. My Auntie Emma was a singer and a musician, so music was their life. My cousin Odie was also a heck of a saxophone player at the time. But when he would play for several hours straight, it would get annoying and we would have to go knock on the door to ask him to cool it. Apartment 5 was across from Auntie Emma's on the second floor. This apartment had tenants that moved in and out, so we always had to adapt to new neighbors and quickly got used to the culture of our family building. Not much activity from this spot, but years later, a fire started in this apartment would cause the entire building to burn down. Apartment 6 belonged to the Kingdoms. Vivian was the only child and her parents were a little up there in age. Man, great times we'd have with her father Hollis, who was so entertaining when he had a few drinks. It seemed like a cruel humor for us to imitate Hollis and Mrs. Kingdom's arguments, but we were all family, so it was all good. You may have noticed that I skipped apartment 2. As they say, I was saving the best for last. This was Grandma's place. This is where it all went down. Grandma's door was always open. In fact, anyone in the entire building could walk in anytime, often without knocking. The only time there wasn't a lot of traffic inside Grandma's apartment was during the illegal card game she hosted once a month. No exaggeration, the game would go on the entire weekend nonstop from Friday evening all the way through Sunday night. Grandma was cool and no one dared disrespect her by taking anything that didn't belong to them. They probably wouldn't have had the nerve to steal from her anyway, being that she owned a small pistol and kept a pocket knife on her at all times. Grandma was rough and everyone knew she would cut you if she needed to. I'm so glad that need never arrived, or at least I ain't hear about it. Grandma knew how to protect herself and the family. Her place was also a safe haven for her children and grandchildren. When one of her many children would disappear for long periods of time and eventually grow weary of roaming the streets, they could come back and she would always welcome them. Many of my cousins lived there at various times with my aunts and uncles. The amazing thing was she only had a 2-bedroom apartment. The living room would be converted into a bedroom for my uncle, Kareem. Random family members would occasionally share the sectional couch with him and sleep there as well. The back room where my cousins would stay was crammed to the max by one full-size bed and 2 twin beds. I still can't believe how they fit all that into that little space, but it worked. Love made it work. For many people, this apartment building represented dysfunction, but for us, it was home. This is where lessons were learned, arguments and fights occurred, and where we got our fair share of whoopings, but at the end of the day, love won. Anyone that set foot inside that building felt the love. This was my foundation. That old apartment building and the people and the memories it contained are what made me. But Dion, you come a long way since your humble past on Chandler Ave. You don't need to look back, some have said. But the truth is, I have to keep looking back because that's the inspiration that makes me continue to move forward. Never forget where your journey started, because at some point in life, you'll need to look back and examine your past. Though butterflies soar high, they occasionally return to the grounded surface that they were once limited to.